Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. We'll be reading from chapter 2 of the book of Acts, verses 42 through 47, and it's found on page 949 of your pew Bibles. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they partook of food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Our second reading comes from 1 Peter. We'll be reading from chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verses 19 through 25, and it is found on page 1059 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. For one is approved if, mindful of God, he endures pain while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you do wrong and are beaten for it, you take it patiently? But if when you do right and suffer for it, you take it patiently, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you as an example, that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted in him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to the righteousness. But by his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. And our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, we'll be reading from John 10 verses 1 through 10. It is found on page 933 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out, and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord. I love that portion of scripture that we just read in John's gospel, because there in that passage of scripture, we are given the Lord's mission statement. I'm told that every good organization should have a mission statement. And now we are getting Jesus's mission statement. And interestingly enough, Jesus's mission statement says nothing about him coming to forgive us of our sins, though he certainly comes to do that. It says nothing about him dying for us, though he certainly comes to do that as well. But the chief aim of Jesus' mission, the thing that encapsulates what he has come to do among us, is that he has come so that we might have life. It's what he says, I came so that they may have life and have it in abundance. That's the Lord's mission statement. Abundant life. Isn't that what we all want? Isn't that what we're all looking for? Not just a little bit of life, not just sufficient life, not just life that is barely getting by, but abundant life. Life that is filled to the rim. That's the kind of life that Jesus says that he came to bring each and every one of us. In a world where death and the power of death often grip our hearts and our imaginations, Jesus says that he came so that we might have life and have it in abundance. Today is Shepherd Sunday, and Jesus comes to bring us life because he is the Good Shepherd. In the ancient world, a shepherd was a metaphor for the leader of God's people. He was the king. Kings were tasked with leading and guiding the people so that they might thrive and flourish. And some kings really tried very hard to do that, but for the most part, they failed. They failed because they were often interested in their own flourishing as opposed to the flourishing of God's people. Instead of being good shepherds, they were robbers and bandits who came to kill and destroy. But Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, and he is the one who has come so that we might learn what it means to live, and to live abundantly. I came so that they may have life, Jesus says, and have it in abundance. But what is this abundant life that Jesus came to bring us? What does it look like? Perhaps it's easier to begin by saying what abundant life is not. First of all, abundant life, the abundant life that Jesus came to bring us, is not about going to heaven when we die. We have a tendency at times to spiritualize the promises of God away and postponing them till after we die. And it is true that when our time here on earth is over and we go to our heavenly reward, then we will be with God. And God has things planned for us that is too wonderful even for us to begin to imagine. Eye has not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him, as the apostle reminds us. But the abundant life that Jesus came to bring to us is abundant life for this world. It is in the midst of this world, with all of its myriad problems, with all of its heartbreak, all of its despair, that Jesus comes to bring us life, an abundant life. So abundant life is not about going to heaven when we die. Nor is abundant life about having lots and lots of material possessions. That's the way our consumer-oriented culture has come to define abundance, having lots and lots of material things and defining our sense of worth and well-being by how much we can accumulate and how much we consume. And so, fortunately, some of that thinking has even seeped into the church, has even seeped into God's people. I used to have a woman in my last church who used to insist that God wanted his people to reside in luxury because that's what Jesus says, that he came to bring abundant life. And it's true that God is very much concerned with our material well-being. God wants us to have the things that are necessary for us to flourish. In fact, in the Bible, wherever Jesus is and wherever the Spirit of God is, we find that people's material needs are taken care of. There's always enough. There's always enough food. There's always enough shelter. There's always enough healing. There's always enough. God wants us to have what we need in order to flourish. But the abundant life that Jesus came to bring us is not about the pursuit of material things. In fact, our culture's incessant grasping after more and more is not the way towards life, but the way towards death. But you heard what Jesus said this morning. He said that he came so that we might have life and have it in abundance. So abundant life, at least the abundant life that Jesus came to bring us, is not about having lots and lots of stuff. And last, I should say that abundant life is not about an abundance of years. It's not about living many, many years. The abundance that Jesus came to give us can be lived at 9, or it can be lived at 109. And while we acknowledge that long life is a wonderful blessing from God and that indeed every day from the time we are born is a precious gift and a wonderful opportunity to praise God and to worship God and to give God thanks for all that God has given us, abundant life is not about an abundance of years. And so you're saying to yourself, okay, if it's not about going to heaven when we die, and if it's not about having lots and lots of material things, and if it's not about an abundance of years, then what is this abundant life that Jesus comes to bring us? What is it all about? Well, abundant life, of course, is life that has God at the center of it. Abundant life is life that is rooted and grounded in love, because any life that has God at the center of it is a life that is rooted and grounded in love. Abundant life is a life of worship and praise and giving glory to God, God the maker and creator of the whole world. To live abundantly is to worship and praise that God and to be in constant prayer to that God, the God of the whole universe. But not only that, but abundant life is a life of sharing and fellowship and service to one another. To live abundantly is to live life knowing that God is present in our midst. It is to live life knowing that we are loved by God and cherished by God and cared for by God. And because we know that, then we are set free. We are free from our concerns, free from our anxieties, free from all that gives us pause in our day-to-day activities to love and to cherish and to serve one another. That's the abundant life that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, came to bring to all of us. That's the life that we all long for, the life that we all crave, the life that we were created for. That's the life that we all want, life that has God at the center of it. That's the kind of life that we get a picture of in the book of Acts. We are told that the new community of God's people, they are worshiping, they are praising God, they are praying, they are there day after day giving glory to God, coming together, fellowshipping, and sharing with one another, meeting each other's needs. No one goes away empty-handed. No one goes away not having their needs met, because God is in the midst of the community. And that's the kind of life that we want too. The text tells us again and again that this vision of life in abundance, brings awe. The people who see it are in awe. They hear Peter giving testimony to life lived with God at the center of it, and they are awed. And they see this new community going forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping and sharing and praising God, and they are in awe. And the Lord adds to their number daily, because people want that kind of life, because it has God at the center of it. And that's the kind of life that we all want as well. But even though we were created for that kind of life, even though we crave that kind of life, if we are honest, it is often elusive. It often eludes us. And it eludes us because we often listen to other voices. We listen to those other voices and listen to those other shepherds. Voices that would have us to concentrate on our fears and anxieties. The fears and anxieties that we have about our lives, and the fears and anxieties that we have towards one another. Voices that would seek to persuade us that there's not enough. There's not enough of the good things to go around. There's not enough food. There's not enough shelter. There's not enough healing. There's not enough. Voices that often appeals to the worst in us. Those are the shepherds that we sometimes listen to. It's their voices that persuade us. But Jesus says that his sheep hear his voice. That in the midst of all the voices out there in the world, all those other shepherds that seek to persuade us and lead us away from what is truly real, what truly brings life, Jesus says that his sheep hear his voice. If you want abundant life, you got to listen closely for the voice of God, the voice of the good shepherd. And Jesus tells us that he is the gate. He's not only the good shepherd, but he is the gate. He is the doorway. He is the doorway to abundant life. And I understand that to mean that it is through his life of self-giving love that we come to know what abundant life is all about. Jesus didn't stay sequestered in heaven where it's nice and safe, but he came to dwell in our midst. Jesus didn't accumulate a lot of material things. He said that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus didn't live to a long, long life. He didn't have many years. He only lived to around 33 years of age. And yet no one lived more abundantly than Jesus did. Everything that the Lord did was about life. When he healed people and liberated them from sickness and disease, he was saying that this is what abundant life looks like. When he welcomed those who no one else would welcome and embraced those that no one else would embrace, he was saying that this is what abundant life looks like. If you want to know what abundant life looks like, this is what it looks like. When he proclaimed good news to the poor and the brokenhearted, he was showing us what abundant life looks like. when he partied and ate and had fellowship with all the wrong kinds of people, he was saying, this is what life looks like. If you want to have abundant life, stop listening to the wrong kinds of shepherds. If you want to have abundant life, begin to live life in abundance. Stop listening to the wrong kinds of voices. They are bandits. They are robbers. They are thieves. They are not concerned about your flourishing. They're concerned only about their own flourishing. There's only one good shepherd. There's only one true leader. There is only one person that points us to the way of life, the Good Shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he is good because he cares about each and every one of us. And his dying on the cross is indicative of that fact. He is the Good Shepherd. And he is the one who has come to lead us and to guide us, to lead us to still waters, to lead us to green pastures, to be with us. And each and every one of us are called to be with him. The world doesn't know how to offer us life. Can make all kinds of promises, and it makes those promises on a daily basis. If we buy this product, if we move to this neighborhood, if we drive this car, if we wear these clothes, if we associate with these people, if we get this degree, if we enter into this career, then we can have abundant life. It's a lie. There's only one way to abundant life. And it's by embracing the way of self-giving love. It is by living life that has God at the center of it. It is by following the one who came to show us what life is really all about. It is on the cross, too, where Jesus says, this is abundant life. This is what abundant life looks like. This is what love looks like. If you want to begin to live, then love like this, and let that love dominate your lives, and you will live. You will live. You will have life, and you will have it in abundance. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, in the midst of the world where we are so tempted to move in directions that move away from your heart, in the midst of a world where we hear all kinds of other voices in our midst pointing us to ways that they tell us we should live. Help us to follow your shepherd. Help us to move in the direction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us and gave himself for us so that we could know what it really means to live. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.